Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Ana Mateo. In the second half of today's show, we will hear about what makes a person beautiful. But first, we begin with a part of our bodies that many think add to our beauty, our hair. Many women use methods of styling their hair that uses heat. But does this damage your hair? A scientist from Purdue University in the U.S. state of Indiana is trying to find a scientific answer to how hot is too hot when it comes to your hair. To help you better understand this story, I will define a few words first. The protein that is the main part of hair is called keratin, and if something is inconclusive, it does not prove something. For example, findings of a study can be inconclusive if they do not prove anything. Now on to our story. Marcia James brings us more on how hot is too hot for our hair.
Many women and some men are very particular about their hair. Some people who have naturally curly hair prefer to have it straightened. Others with straight hair want to have curls. Tahara Reed is one of those people. As an African-American woman, she is familiar with the challenges of maintaining curly, coil, or tightly curled hair. Putting her mechanical engineering training to work, Tahara Reed and other researchers at Purdue University are studying how heat treatment interacts with different types of hair and how to prevent damage.
It's kind of like the way I see the world. It's like the lens through which I see the world. And I always was wondering about, okay, how can we think about this from a mechanical engineering perspective?
Hair irons can take many shapes, but are essentially clips or rods with heated surfaces. Amy Mirkonet is assistant professor of mechanical engineering. She says the team is seeing how heat and temperature relates to their research.
If you go to the mall right now, you see a whole aisle full of straightening irons. And they have terms like ion technology and tourmaline.
In a Purdue University lab, team members designed a hair straightener tool, a flat iron with ceramic plates and temperature control. They attached it to a robotic arm that moved over pieces of hair. They monitored the temperature while the device straightened hair. What did they find? Their study found that the heat weakens or breaks a protein called keratin, responsible for the hair's shape and temporarily changes it. But nobody knows exactly at what level the heat can actually cause permanent damage. Again, Tahara Reed.
If we understand the onset at which that happens, then we might be able to intervene before or give some suggestions before you get to that point.
Researchers say early results are a bit inconclusive. It turns out that everyone's hair is different and that there's no exact temperature where hair straightening becomes hair damage. For example, people with naturally curly hair can suffer more damage from heat irons than those with straight hair. I'm Marcia James.
Thanks, Marcia. After a short break, we will talk about beauty and why we think some people are more beautiful than others. You are listening to As It Is. Welcome back to VOA Learning English. You are listening to As It Is. Earlier in the show, we heard about how styling processes that use heat can damage our hair. Now we hear a report on beauty. Why do we consider some people to be more attractive than others? Katie Weaver brings us that story.
In the case of people, there is one major factor that comes above all others. What selections will generate the most interest among readers? More readers mean more money for the magazine. This year, the magazine named Sandra Bullock the most beautiful person in the world. Many people would agree that she is good-looking. However, those same people are likely to differ about how good-looking Bullock is. But why do some people find Sandra Bullock gorgeous and others think she is just attractive? A new study suggests that what a person finds good-looking in another person is shaped by the observer's environment and experiences. Beauty, say experts, is very individual. While Bullock is undeniably good-looking, not everyone agrees to what extent. Laura Germine is a researcher in psychiatric genetics at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. She co-led the study published in the journal Current Biology. Over 35,000 people took part by rating the faces of people in photographs posted on the website testmybrain.org. Ms. Germine said the research centered on the individual judgments of face attractiveness that differ from each other. The scientists got a good idea of the uniqueness of individual face preferences from examining the choices made by the online group. Then the researchers turned to twins. They included 550 sets of identical twins and 214 pairs of same-sex, non-identical twins. The two groups of twins rated faces for attractiveness. Identical twins share 100% of their genetic material. Non-identical twins do not. So the scientists expected that the identical twins would share an identical face preference. The scientists also thought the fraternal twins' preferences would be more diverse, like the general population. In fact, the preference for beautiful or dislike of average faces agreed only about 50% of the time. The findings suggest that environmental experiences have as much influence on people's idea of beauty as genetics. I'm Katie Weaver.
Thanks, Katie, and also thanks to Marcia James. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is, and check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for more Learning English programs.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
and welcome to the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. They slither. They are slimy. For most people, they are high on the list of animals nobody loves. They are worms and snakes. From ancient folk stories to modern animated films, snakes and worms do not often play the hero. Fair or not, they are usually the characters that set bad examples. This is also true in American English. In our idioms and expressions, worms and snakes are often the bad guys. First, let's talk about worms. If you don't like worms, one is bad enough. But a whole can of worms is really bad. A can of worms is a very difficult issue or set of problems. And to open a can of worms means to share those problems with other people who may not want to know about them. Now, worms are good at slowly digging themselves into the ground. And when they are in the ground, they are difficult to catch. This is the root of two common expressions. If you worm your way into something, you get something you want by slowly using tricks and lies. For example, I can't believe he wormed his way back into her life. She won't ever learn. And if you worm your way out of something, you are avoiding or escaping something by using, again, tricks or lies. But not all worm expressions are bad. A common expression, the early bird gets the worm, means the person who gets up early is in a better position, or gets the worm. Good for the bird, bad for the worm. Now let's talk about snakes. When snakes move, they slither along the ground or in the grass. It seems as if they do not want to be seen. So, a snake in the grass is a sneaky person who cannot be trusted. Here's how you can use it in a sentence. Be careful around her. She is just a snake in the grass. Another reason many people fear snakes is because they bite. And who wants to get bit by a snake, right? So, snake bit means to be very unlucky. For example, if your favorite soccer team is snake bit, they are losing every game. Even if many people do not like them, snakes are still useful. Their beautiful skins are used for boots and bags. But have you ever used snake oil? It is probably better if you haven't. In American English, snake oil is a method or treatment that does not work. It's a trick. Some word historians say this expression comes from Asian American workers in the 1800s who brought real snake oil over with them. Some believed the oil from a certain type of snake could help joint and muscle pain. But then people started making fake snake oil that did not do anything. So a snake oil salesman is a fake, an imposter, a charlatan. They are not to be trusted. Maybe that's why the snake oil business has never really recovered. Besides the creepy way they move, snakes and worms have something else in common. In American English, calling someone a snake or a worm means that person is not liked or respected. And that's it for today's program. I leave you with one more worm expression. There is an informal and rather dark way to refer to a dead body. Food for worms, or simply worm food. In fact, there is even a dark children's nursery song about worms coming to eat a dead body buried in the ground. Like I said early in the program, snakes and worms are creepy. I'm Ana Mateo.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. The worms play pinochle on your snout. They eat your eyes, they eat.
Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Doug Johnson with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today, we tell about world-famous country music performer Johnny Cash.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
That was Johnny Cash singing his first major hit record, I Walk the Line. It has sold more than 2 million copies since it was released in 1956. Music industry experts say Johnny Cash recorded 1,500 songs during his life. He sold more than 50 million records. He recorded not only country music, but religious songs, rock and roll, folk, and blues. Johnny Cash's music could be as dark as the black clothes he always wore. Those songs told stories about poor people, outlaws, prisoners, coal miners, cowboys, and laborers. He sang about loneliness, death, love, and faith. He also sang very funny songs, like this one, A Boy Named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Johnny Cash was born in 1932 in the southern state of Arkansas. His parents were poor cotton farmers. He worked in the fields alongside his parents, 3 brothers, and 2 sisters. He also listened to country music on the radio. He began writing songs, and he performed on radio programs. After high school, he joined the United States Air Force. He served as a radio operator in Germany. He returned to the United States in 1954 and married Vivian Liberto. They moved to Memphis, Tennessee. He got a job selling kitchen equipment and went to school to learn how to be a radio announcer. Cash formed a band with 2 friends and performed at local events. They began recording for Sun Records in Memphis. One of the songs Cash wrote became the first country music hit record for the company. It was Cry, Cry, Cry.
Everybody knows where you go when the sun goes down. I think you only live to see the lights uptown. I wasted my time when I would try, try, try. 'Cause when the lights have lost their glow, you cry, cry, cry. Soon your sugar daddies will all be gone. You wake up some cold day and find you're alone. You'll call for me, but I'm gonna tell you bye, bye, bye. When I turn around and walk away, you'll cry, cry, cry. You're gonna cry, 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 and you'll cry alone. When everyone's forgotten and you're left on your own, you're gonna cry, cry, cry.
Johnny Cash continued to record on his own for Sun Records. He performed all across the United States and Canada. He also appeared on radio and television shows. His next big hit record sold more than 1 million copies. It was a hit for a second time in 1968, after Johnny Cash recorded it live at Folsom Prison. It was Folsom Prison Blues.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
By 1958, Johnny Cash was a successful recording artist, songwriter, and singer. He was invited to perform at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. He performed his music in front of live audiences in the United States and in other countries. But he was often afraid to perform in front of a lot of people. He began using drugs to help him perform and quickly became dependent on the drugs. His serious drug problem caused the end of his marriage. Johnny Cash said he took drugs regularly for 7 years during the 1960s. Then he would drive cars and boats too fast and get into dangerous accidents that almost killed him. He finally decided that he needed to stop taking drugs. One of his best friends, country singer June Carter, helped him through this difficult time. The Carter family is considered one of the earliest country and western singing groups. Johnny Cash and June Carter recorded together. They won a Grammy Award in 1968 for Best Country and Western Performance by a Group. The song was Jackson.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson, I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson, look out Jackson Town.
We'll go on down to Jackson, go ahead and wreck your hell. Go play your hand, you big talk man, make a big fool of yourself. Yeah, go to Jackson, go comb your hair.
Honey, I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
Johnny Cash and June Carter were married in 1968. They performed many times with the Carter family. She also helped him rediscover his Christian faith. Years earlier, June Carter had written a song about her feelings for Johnny. His record of that song became one of his biggest hits, Ring of Fire.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into
to a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Johnny Cash had his own television show and also acted in movies. He published 2 books about his life. He won many awards, including 11 Grammy Awards and the Kennedy Center Honors. He was elected to both the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He also received a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. Johnny Cash suffered many health problems as he got older. When June Carter Cash died in May 2003, his friends feared the worst. But Cash decided to continue recording. He recorded more than 50 songs in the 4 months before he died on September 12, 2003, in Nashville. He was 71 years old.
Fans say that Johnny Cash's music was important because it told simple stories about life and death. They say he cared about social issues and continued to express support for those who are poor and without political power. One of the last songs he recorded was one made popular by the rock and roll group Nine Inch Nails. It is called Hurt.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all.
A reporter once asked Johnny Cash what he hoped people would remember about his music. Cash said he hoped people would remember that his music described the feelings of love and life, that it was different, and that it was honest.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
This special English program was written by Nancy Steinbach. It was produced by Lawan Davis. Suleiman Tarawali was our engineer. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Doug Johnson. Join us again next week for another People in America program on The Voice of America.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side.